Before we begin, Simran and I want to acknowledge that we're recording this podcast on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Eastern Kulin Nations. We also want to acknowledge that we met and grew up together on the land of the Kombimari people of the Yugambeh language group and acknowledge and pay respects to First Peoples elders past and present.
Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Welcome back to Broadly Relevant.
I'm Simran Pasricha.
I'm Ryan Hamilton.
And this is the podcast for Bent Out Divas.
Trying to stay
Broadly relevant.
Today, we're going to talk about spies in Ukraine and Russia using LARP to boost people.
Ooh, yes.
And what are you going to talk about?
We're also going to talk about right-wingers not knowing how to take a joke. Classic them.
And I want to talk about my favorite conservative politician.
Totally. And I'm going to talk about how the media is so silly. Nonsense sometimes also. And we'll end it all off with Broadly Diva.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Broadly culture. Lots happening in culture today.
You say that every time.
I know, and I like it. It's necessary. I love that you've only just caught on that I'm saying that every time. That's the whole fucking point.
Because I think every time I've been like, there is a lot happening.
It's crazy.
I saw a great TikTok and it was someone being like, the thing with the media is that some days it's a quiet news day, but the news can't say that, so they'll make random stories big.
Me as fuck. When I'm having like a low, like I have nothing to write about, I'm like, what the hell do I write? I'm like, and I'm trying to like, you know, make my like story list look longer and I'll just like put things in. And I'm like, do those stories really get written? Not really, but it's okay. You know, every day is a news day.
Do you want to start with the culture?
Yes. Okay. So the Logies happened this past week and Robert Irwin was the host of the Logies for the first time.
I saw this.
Yes.
Apparently there were like 3.4 million viewers.
Really?
Well, that's what I saw on Threads. So.
I believe it.
Fact check it. But yeah. Also, I didn't even know there were that many Australians.
Wait, okay.
there's like 26 million.
And that's the, well, we'll find out after the census. Wait, side note, I'll come back to Robert Irwin for sure. But the census was so much fun. Did you have fun doing it?
I was like, I wanted more of a survey.
Oh my God, so did I.
Do you know
it was
what
like
I mean?
Not enough like specific questions.
It was not giving BuzzFeed.
My dad was like, I was kind of disappointed it wasn't invasive enough. And I was like, okay, King, someone who's like usually like, I don't want the government knowing anything about me. Like, he was upset because last time I feel it took us like hours to fill out. This time, 30 minutes for
literally,
like a 3-person household.
Literally.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of wanted to reflect on myself today.
Totally. Anyways, but it was nice to like learn secrets and lore about your housemates.
Did you tick the like, yes, reveal my tea in like 100 years question?
I did.
Yeah, same.
Yes.
I think that's so cool.
At first I didn't, and then I was like, I'll be dead, whatever.
Well, exactly. That's the whole point.
Yeah, 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 totally. Anyways.
Logies.
Yes. Yeah, so Robert Irwin hosted for the first time. Usually it's been Sam Pang, the comedian, for a little bit, you know, a couple past shows. I think he did pretty well. He like whipped out his snake around town. That's right. He whipped out an actual snake. I think an olive python is what he whipped out.
Wow.
And he just like passed it around the audience, which was kind of fun. Some animal rights activists didn't love that in the comment section I saw.
Georgie Purcell.
I don't know. Why do I know that name?
We were talking about Georgie before we started recording. Georgie is the head of the Animal Justice Party in Victoria.
Oh my God, yeah, so
Manager
true.
Josh Burns.
So true, so true. And you have to remind me every time. Anyway, names, they're just like, I'm like kind of worried that I have like early onset dementia.
Well, that's the thing that we forget like culturally because we're all like getting COVID multiple times. Like it actually has a material impact on our brains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like sometimes I forget people's names.
Sometimes. All the damn time.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm like, but I was talking to you yesterday.
Crazy that.
Crazy.
Anyways.
Hey.
The Logies. Okay, so one joke that Robert Irwin made has kind of split people in half. And by split people in half, I mean like on the political spectrum. So his joke was, unfortunately, Karl Stefanovic didn't RSVP tonight, which means we didn't have to hire quite as many bartenders. But we've kept him a spare seat just in case. It's over there to the right, the far right. Which is hee hee ha ha because Karl Stefanovic, if you don't know, has left the morning show. Is that what he was on? It was like some daytime television show. And now he's like become like this like right wing podcaster who like is like besties with Pauline Hanson, supposedly. Anyways, a lot of right wing people are really upset about this joke. They're like, why is he like brought politics into it? Like, you know, like Jesus, get off the stage. Like TV is on mute. And he's like pretty loved, like, by everyone, yeah, I would say. Yeah. Like, this is kind of, like, the first time I've seen him get, like, backlash.
But correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't say anything negative. He was no. just like, he's on the right, yes. which is accurate.
This is my thing. I was like, take my point, why don't you? But I...
It's like, can we not call trees green anymore?
Literally! I was like, I don't understand. He's actually, like, accurately representing him, which, what's the issue with that?
I've always thought of Carl as a progressive left-wing leader in this country.
Yeah, totally. You don't even know who he was 2 seconds ago. But I found it funny. I think it's telling how right-wing people just, like, want to kick up a fuss for, like, no
Literally.
Reason.
It's like, what? Crybabies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snowflakes.
Snowflakes.
Yeah, literal snowflakes. But I also found it funny that people, that and everyone is beautiful, but most people are just wrong, you know? but I also found it funny that people thought that a conservationist, like, wouldn't be political or, like, left-leaning. Like, hello.
Like, have you heard of climate change?
Yeah. They're like, no, he's at the zoo. What are you talking about?
The thing is, people haven't heard of climate change.
Yeah, that's true. That.
Like, with all the heat waves in the UK, did you know that, like, in all the reporting from major newspapers, there was, like, no references in any of the reporting about the heat waves that explicitly linked it to climate change?
Scary.
Which is crazy, because, like, that's not normal.
No.
No, that many heat waves.
Spooky. Yeah. What's happening in culture on your side of the world?
So this is massive for me. I read a just so many word article delving into, it's so incredibly niche, or maybe not, depending on where you are, a thing that is happening in Ukraine in the war, where basically Russian spy organizations are recruiting teenagers to, like, you know, do things, take photos of military installations,
yeah,
put up graffiti, you know, like... et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the specific mechanisms that they're using is, like, messaging these, like, teenagers and almost, like, setting up, like a faux Pokemon Go sort of, like, game.
Oh.
Where they're, like, maybe there's some money involved, or they're just, like, treating it like a game. And they're just talking about, like, well, why don't you start by doing this crazy thing on the street? And it's, like, something innocuous, like, bit of graffiti or whatever.
Yeah.
And then as you, like, get the mark, like, more invested and also more blackmailable, like you get it up to, like, a case where they had some kids arrested for, like, I think plotting to do something bad, can't remember, got very vague there because my memory wasn't perfect and I refuse to be canceled, but it's just the most amazing article, because then the writer, and you all need to go to the description to find the fucking link for this article,
yeah.
It talks about, like, research that's been done by the CIA and other, like, spy organizations into how you can weaponize, like, populations of people using game mechanics to become intelligence things. So they were talking about, like, this, and, like, this is crazy, like, blew my mind. There was this research thing that they did, like, back in 2009. This is DARPA did it in the US, talking about, like, basically they released, like, 9 balloons in America, put out 9 balloons. And if a group of people managed to find those 9 balloons, which would only be visible across the entirety of mainland USA in, like, a 4-hour period, if one group managed to find all 9 balloons, they'd get $40,000. And a bunch of, like, different universities and different organizations tried it. And the winning model, like, some people actually managed to find all balloons.
Crazy.
And the way they did it was they created this structure where, like, if you found the balloon, you'd get like $1,000 of the prize money. If you found one balloon, you get $1,000 of the prize money. And anyone else that you got to join the network of, like, finding people, you would get half of, like, a significant thing. So they, like, built this, like, reverse pyramid scheme of finding these balloons and basically proved a model where you can, like, invest people in doing espionage activities where they don't even realize they're doing espionage activities through, like, game theory.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, that's crazy.
That's, like, a little bit, that makes a lot of sense, especially because they're actually, like, using Pokemon Go for, like...
Well, literally...
drones, et cetera.
So Pokemon Go, which is created by the game firm Niantic, has been using the scans that it's been doing to create, like, an AI database of what buildings looks like, which has then been used, I think, to inform autonomous drones in warfare, which is crazy.
So crazy.
Crazy.
Not to make this about me, but, like...
Please.
It's my podcast, whatever. I Not and not that I would like join the Russian army as a spy, but like
you'd want to play a game.
I'd want to play a game, but I wanted that so desperately growing up. As like in high school, I wanted to be a spy so desperately. I read all the spy books. It was a specific book that I don't know the name, but I forget it. And they all went to boarding school and they were like training to be spies in Virginia. Where? And it was awesome source. And I did international relations because I wanted to be a spy.
No
I didn't.
Way.
Yeah,
you would have been like a shit spy.
Yeah, totally. Maybe with the podcast, yeah.
You're a yapper.
Totally. It's not the fitness like test that I would fail. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm very upset about that. But now I think I would have aced that. But honestly, I get bored about games like online though. Like when we went geocaching, like you had to do all the work basically.
Well, geocaching doesn't have much gamification in it, but like
it's like hide and seek.
It's like hide and seek, but I think there's like. This whole article just goes into like ways of gamifying espionage. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Totally. I mean, who knows? Maybe I played a game that was spying, you know?
So true. Maybe we just use our phones and like we're actually all spies. We're all spies.
Do you know Duolingo's original business model? They were trying to become like a translation agency. So they would translate documents. And the model that they used was they would get students to practice translating bits from things that people were paying to translate. And they would get enough students practicing that eventually they'd like crowdsource the answer. So they were like monetizing your training. I like tried it back in 2012.
No way.
Yeah, I've had Duolingo since 2012.
Yeah. What's your streak right now? How's your Hindi streak going?
1,100 days as of yesterday. But they eventually gave up and just turned to monetizing users. But like, I think that's an interesting model.
Interesting, interesting. And, you know,
that's the culture tea.
Broadly news. So the Sydney Swans, which is an AFL team, I want to say. It's a sports team for sure. it's a serious story, actually. And I will preface this that we are going to be discussing like sexual assault in this. So if you want to skip ahead to 10 minutes in this, and then we'll go get into Broadly Diva. But yes, the Sydney Swans are somewhat involved in an alleged sexual assault that happened in Melbourne. So the Swans confirmed on Monday that several players were involved in an alleged incident. So the wording that they used was an alleged incident in Melbourne on Sunday night. The club had stayed in Melbourne after a game with Essendon. And the Swans confirmed, yes, that several players were involved with an alleged incident. Victoria Police had said that detectives were looking into a report of sexual assault at a hotel in East Melbourne in the early hours of Monday. No one has been named and police have like not announced any charges. Right now, the police have said that the exact circumstances are yet to be established and the investigation into the incident remains ongoing. However, the Swans' CEO, Matthew Pavlich, did address media yesterday about the situation. He said, "We're still piecing together exactly what's transpired here and have our own set of internal inquiries ongoing. Safe to say that we are extremely shocked and disappointed that this has taken place and that the players have found themselves in this situation. We understand the level of interest in the matter and there's going to be lots of speculation, but given it's a police matter right now, that is all that we can say." There are four players that have been understood and reported on to have spoken to the Victoria Police after the alleged sexual assault investigation was announced. And so there are players like involved in this. Like, we won't be naming them because of legal reasons today. But I more so want to concentrate on the coverage that has been going on and the language that is being used. I have been reporting on this situation. And as a reporter, like, it is really important to make sure that you're like saying things like carefully and that you're, you know, not being defamatory, especially in Australia. Like, we have like some of the harshest defamation laws. And you also don't want to, you know, impact any investigations that are going on. Okay. And so you do have to be really careful. But what I've been really disappointed in is seeing the language and the concentration on whether or not the Sydney Swans will be able to play a game on Friday as a result of this investigation.
Oh.
This is what like a lot of different publications are like focusing on, and like whether or not they're members will be stood down for the game on Friday. And I think a lot of people are forgetting that there are women that are at the center of this investigation, you know, like that is actually the main issue. And even like the CEO saying, we're extremely shocked and disappointed that this has taken place and that the players have found themselves in this situation, like they, you know, stumbled and like fell into it, is kind of telling about like where the AFL stands on sexual violence against women, or like violence against women in general. And, you know, with, you know, like the AFL grand final day being such a high marker of domestic violence in Australia, like the AFL in general needs to be doing better. And this is just an opportunity where they could have taken some accountability without admitting guilt. I think that's like a thing where people are like, you know, if they like say anything, like if they called it this, blah, 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 then they admit guilt. But you actually, like, you can just take, you can say like, you know, we're looking into this internally, and as a whole, as an organization, we do not agree with violence against women. We do not stand for sexual violence against women. You know, like there are ways, like I don't understand like why that's such a hard thing to do, but it's been even more disappointing to see media publications, people online being worried about a footy game on Friday more so than the woman in the middle of this, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, agree. You've talked.
I covered a lot of bases there. Yeah. I think it's very telling also just like where we are at with like society in general, that we don't really center women.
Yeah.
You know, any chance.
What was the statement that the coach came out with? And it was just something like,
that we're still piecing this together. They have their own set of internal inquiries. And they said it was an incident. They called like the alleged incident.
There was something about like, I think it was the coach, and he was like, oh yeah, it sucks that the boys have been caught up in this. And it's like,
yeah, found themselves in this situation.
And it's like, it's like, you know, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of specific things that have to lead to you being caught up in this.
Totally. Totally. And broadly relevant does not suggest the players were under investigation or no players have been arrested or charged.
Yeah.
But AFL, do better. Come on. What's happening in your news? Did you find one?
Yeah, I have a news article.
Ryan was looking for one as I was talking about mine.
No, and then I remember this one. So this is like, it's like a continuation of a story that's been going on for like a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you follow FIFA.
Didn't, which was kind of surprising for me. I feel like that's like something I'd get into.
No, well, I didn't realize this, but there were no women in FIFA.
Well, yes.
Because it turns out there's a different one for women.
Yes, and there was one here, and it was in the Gold Coast.
Yeah, and but I was like, that's why I don't care.
Oh, totally.
Because it wasn't the Matildas.
Because you're centering women.
Well, but also it's like, who are these people?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not the Matildas. They're not getting the media attention.
No, totally.
Literally. And yeah, anywho. Also, I think it's traded badly or well. I don't care.
What's the news story in this again?
The story is, this happened right before the last, like, big game or whatever they call it. There was, like, a plan put forward to a bunch of, like, internal stakeholders in FIFA to sell off FIFA to private investors.
Right.
So FIFA is, like, just a public organization. It's not owned by anyone. And headquartered in Switzerland. And basically the head of FIFA was like, guys, what if we just, like, sold off ownership to private investors. I think some investors linked to Trump as well. And that caused a massive uproar in the football community. Massive. Because nobody wants that. It's already like this, like FIFA, very embattled as an organization, but ultimately like quite independent and its own thing. And I think that's good. Like I actually think, you know, like having like weird ownership things is not good for things.
Yeah.
I mean, do you follow, is it netball? There was a sport that I was looking at.
You just, like, know that I don't, though.
Well, I was watching a fascinating video about, I think it was netball in the U.S., where it's, like, become this whole thing where the entire business model of that sport relies on. This is such a sidetrack.
No, I like
but the entire business model relies on, like, students playing it. And there's not actually like enough demand for the sport for the it to support like a professional tier. Mm. But the entire organization runs off people like going to like competitions as students, vying to get into like the three professional teams. But the whole like structure of the sport is built around making money off hopeful students rather than like actually having a sport that people watch, which that was fascinating. Anywho, so FIFA was trying to sell off parts of its business, which is crazy. And basically there was like a massive drama, massive uproar. Everyone was like, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And then here's the tea, a bunch of like internal stakeholders from within FIFA came out and they said, we didn't have any knowledge that this was being planned, any knowledge that this was being put forward to us until we were told like we have like 2 weeks to like actually like sign this thing. And then just today, the chief operating officer of FIFA has resigned over or been fired. Let me correct that. Sacked. Mm. FIFA chief sacked after criticizing the head of FIFA because for the sell-off plan. And like, that's crazy. Mm. That's crazy tea.
Wow. People, I don't understand why people can't take criticism anymore.
Yeah. And what happened to criticism?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think every organization needs an internal podcast.
Yeah. Us. I think everyone needs us to criticize them.
Argent Energy, hire us. Yeah. We'll cover you internally. Yeah. That'd be crazy. Can you imagine?
That would be crazy. Yeah. That's like something that I feel like a Google campus would do, you know? Like a
oh my God,
like
guys,
they'd have like a radio
guess what
station.
DeepMind has done.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
The Gmail team is going crazy.
Yeah. Did you hear?
That'd be fun.
Yeah. That Sheets and Docs are like fighting.
Yes. Well, we are available for purchase.
Yeah.
Google.
No.
Kidding.
Something like ethical, which yeah, like
but
doesn't
I
exist.
Just think that's crazy.
That is crazy.
Because can you imagine FIFA like not being like its own like independent thing?
Mm.
That'd be crazy.
What would that look like though? Like what's like the big change?
Like, they wouldn't have, like, complete independence as they do now. But it was massive. Like, every European football club was like, absolutely not. We will not play in FIFA if you sell off.
Mm, that's pretty slay.
Which, like, solidarity.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen, like, a couple different moments where athletes have really been rallying together. Yeah. Like, same as, like, WNBA when they were, like, rallying for, like,
oh my
higher
God,
pay.
I loved that moment.
Yeah, they looked really good.
That was great.
Broadly Diva. Oh, we haven't done this in a minute, but here we are. Don't know which divas we had last time, but here we are.
But ultimately, we're going to decide who our diva is. We're both going to talk about two divas, and diva is an inclusive term. Diva can be object, person, place, or thing. Mm. Diva is noun.
Yeah.
And then we're going to debate who's the best diva, and then we're going to leave you with the diva of the week.
Yes.
Yes. Do you want to go first? Or I think I kind of have an explosive diva.
Okay, you go.
No, I want to know who
No, you go because I'm going to eat you down. And if you
do
don't
you
choose my diva.
Diva?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
Or like, I guess not. I mean, but yeah, I do.
So my diva is Susan Ley.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you remember Susan Ley?
Yes, I know Susan
Ley. The second
Ley.
Shortest leader of the Liberal Party. 238 days, I think she had the position.
That's not what I expected you to say.
No, okay. But I was at work today and someone was like, you need to read this article about Susan Ley. And I read this article about Susan Ley. So Susan Ley, obviously no longer the opposition leader. It's Angus Taylor now, who I checked in once to a hotel that I used to work at. Susan Ley, out of politics. She's hanging about. What's she up to? You'll never guess. No guess. Guess what she's gotten up to?
She's wanting to buy the FIFA organization.
No, not that. She took the trip of a lifetime. Guess where she went?
Oh my God. Where did she go to India?
She describes it as the trip of her lifetime. No, not India. Although that would make sense.
She went on mushrooms.
No.
She went on a NASA trip.
No, that would make sense. But no. It's actually surprising for both a former Liberal politician and Susan Ley. I was like, what the heck? She did a Greyhound bus trip across America.
Wow.
Yeah. So she took...
That is so random.
No, it's so fucking random. But basically, I can't remember the name of the road, but she like, you know how like there's like iconic roads in America? Whatever.
Route 66.
Maybe.
68? 69? 67. That feels 67. 67.
No clue. Anywho, but so she basically had an interview with 7:30 at the ABC and she was talking about like this trip that she did, which was just like on Greyhound buses. And she was, I need to read you quotes that she said. Miss Ley saw the United States. She saw a dispassionate and divided nation, but one that cannot be compared to Australia. Quote, I think we make a mistake if we try to draw parallels. And if you go to the US and feel that there are immediate parallels, well, the first thing that hits you is that actually there are not, which I think is a bit funny. But she goes on to just say some unhingedly woke things. Mm. And I was like, hang on, hang on, bring Susan back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay, totally. In the sense that don't, but like figuratively.
Anywho, here's some, I'm just going to read four quotes in a row. I'm a huge supporter of the Australian Multicultural Project for the simple reason that we have been able to achieve multicultural Australia, not by erasing people's differences, but by giving them space to belong. I think this is something we should all be incredibly proud of. I'm not a political commentator for the US, but I didn't see, this is crazy, hold my hand for this, communities melting together like I see here.
Okay, melting pot.
Melting pot.
Monoculture who?
She was like, we melt there. We melt here, but not there.
Wow.
And I was like, that's crazy. She goes on to say, in fact, I saw different communities from different backgrounds sitting very uncomfortably alongside each other. And I was like, oh, okay, work.
Well, and I want to know more about that.
And as she traveled on these, I'm literally just quoting this ABC article now, but quote from the ABC article. As she traveled on those Greyhound buses with a quote unquote, a lot of sketchy and strange characters on a journey that she had dreamt up more than two decades ago, Miss Lay said she found the true U.S. It was a surprising reckoning.
Interesting.
Quote unquote.
The true U.S. surprise reckoning. Like I she love doesn't this. Know who Trump is. Okay, anyways.
She says, I always felt that the views of America that tourists had, that the media had, that we hear so much in the zeitgeist, that the view from Disneyland, the Statue of Liberty, Yosemite, Vegas, were just not the real America. Yeah. I wanted to see that, and I did. And what I saw was incredible and surprising.
How long did she spend there?
Like a couple weeks. So she said, here's some other statements that she said. In some states, you get a ticket to the Greyhound if you're homeless and the state wants you to leave. There were some returning prisoners. There were some nuns. There were some veterans. And there were many assistance dogs. I saw very, very few children. There were people whose lives were in transition and disarray. And that's what struck me from the moment I got on the first bus. And I'm just like, this is crazy from a liberal leader to like have empathy about people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She, quote unquote, when I sat next to people and saw them in their most unguarded moments, the gap between what they hopefully looked into a future with and the reality that gradually settled on them was apparent. And what I mean by that is that I was often in awe of the dignity and the humanity of so many people that I traveled with.
And maybe she just needed to be a writer.
Or, you know, do the trip while she was, in fact, leader of the opposition.
Hey, totally. Or before.
Or before. Or before.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is why people, it's good to travel, you know, because you get, you're like outside of yourself.
And it gets crazier.
Go on.
Actually, this article, I was like, am I a fan of Susan Lee?
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of good PR. Okay.
Totally.
Let's acknowledge that whoever is her publicist right now, eight. Mm. She's talking about like the disconnection that people have like in relation to like, what do you call it when you're like proud of your name?
Patriotism.
Patriotism in the U.S. She says, I expected as I traveled to still see that clenched fist sense of pride in the U.S. and the flag and the identity of the country. Mm. I've got to be honest, I didn't see that. It doesn't mean it didn't exist in people's hearts, but I didn't see it expressed. What I saw was incredible disconnection. I saw disconnection as a human condition rather than a political constituency. And people were simply not interested in the institutions and the organizations that ostensibly are there to represent them, to look after them, and to be there for them. If you look back over history, you see the public in America and obviously around the world engaged, active, angry. What I saw was just an incredible stepping back and disinterest. And I'm just like, what? Imagine if you had that sort of relationship to people.
Yeah.
When you were leading the 2IC.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Anywho, she says she's excited to contribute to public life for the benefit of her grandchildren and their future in this country and to make it a better place.
Okay.
And I'm just like,
who are you?
Well, you know she was born in Nigeria.
No way!
Yeah.
Susan Lee, you are.
Born in Nigeria, moved to the UAE before it was the UAE.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, as a kid.
This is so random, Susan Lee.
Dad, British intelligence officer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Totally liberal makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense for the liberal.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, what?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Okay, this kind of reminds me of this politician, this liberal politician that came and visited like my temple. Mm-hmm. Once when I was like in uni and she was like talking to me specifically because I was doing international relations and I guess like I was critical of her.
Yeah.
And this is off the record, like the lesbian that's in the Gold Coast.
Oh.
Yeah. And I, yeah, I was talking to her and she was telling me all these like really quite progressive, like Zoran-esque policies that she like wanted to do or like opinions that she had. But then she was obviously part of the Liberal Party. So I was like, I don't understand. Like, how can you reckon with that? Like, why are you in this? Like, I don't understand. Like, there's so many other parties that you could have just joined. And she was like, I'm just trying to change it from the inside out. And I was like, why? I just didn't understand. I was like,
the thing that's like really disappointing about like the political structures we live in is how like people like actually, I think a lot more people want to change things than we realize.
Yeah.
But also like a lot of people don't believe that we can change the systems that we live in. And so they spend their whole time trying to work within the systems, but the systems aren't set up to let you change.
Yeah. And you must break down the system to build back up.
Amen.
Amen, sister friend.
Revolution.
Ugh. My diva is Hayden Panettiere, and also a blonde diva who passed away last weekend. So therefore I win, okay? And obviously this is sad, so we're not like joking about it. But Hayden Panettiere, if you don't know, was a child actress, and then she's like continued acting like for a long time. I feel like she was everywhere in my childhood, but I quickly just wanted to go through like her IMDb. Because she's a real diva. I feel like I first remembered seeing her in...
She was in A Bug's Life.
A Bug's Life, hello, important. What else? She was in Hoodwinked. She was in I Love You, Beth Cooper. She was in Ice Princess, which is, you know, such a great film. Raising Helen is something that I remember her being in. Heroes, obviously. Did you ever watch Heroes?
What's that?
It's like a show about like humans with like superpowers.
She was in Dinosaur.
What's that?
The 2000 Sydney movie? Disney movie.
Oh, yes.
About dinosaurs.
Yep. She was in Racing Stripes, Commander-in-Chief, The Architect, Bring It On, All or Nothing, very important. She was in Nashville, which I loved as a TV show. But she had a really hard life, I will say. She
was in Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah. She was working. But yes, she's had quite a tough go at life, I would say. She's struggled with addiction and very severe postpartum depression. She's talked about being sexually assaulted whilst working as a child actor. She's had very abusive relationships, and she's had a lot of like family loss. So like she had like a very sudden death of her younger brother. And she recently, like she was very like away from the public eye, I would say, for like quite a few years. She was like fully, like I would, you know, she didn't come out. She wasn't doing any press. She wasn't doing any like newer movies. She'd also like given full custody of her child to the child's father. Because she thought that's what was best for the child. But she came back into the public eye, I guess, like this year, I would say, when she released a memoir called This Is Me, A Reckoning.
Okay.
And it really like went through this like huge, you know, life story that she's been through and really coming out on the other side. But unfortunately, she was found, she did die this past weekend at 36 years old. A confirmed cause of death has not been released yet, but they have had like some details, including that she was an acquaintance called 911 to the house, and that there was like a cardiac arrest involved, and they did have like they tried to like resuscitate her, but ultimately, she passed away. So many people have been like putting out tributes to her. Viola Davis wrote a tribute for her about working with her and her husband working with her. So many people from like One Tree Hill, so many different stars. I really think that this is unfortunately like a lesson again of like why we shouldn't have children in acting, you know? Like child actors really have it so hard.
They do.
You know? And like...
It's crazy because, like, as a child, that was my dream.
I know.
To be a child star.
Same. But I thank my parents for forgetting to fill in forms sometimes, you know? I did send a lot of forms to my parents, and then they'd forget to fill in, like, the backside of it.
What form?
I really wanted to be in MasterChef Junior.
Wow.
Yeah. And I wanted to, like, apply for auditions and things like that. Yeah.
I wanted to live in a house that...
Where would the dolphin be?
That was someone else's problem.
Just, okay, think back a little bit. Logistically, where would the dolphin be?
Well, I was imagining like it would kind of like the internal floor of the place be a bit like Venice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like in Italy, Venice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like there would be like canals in the floor.
Sure, sure, sure.
For my dolphin to go.
Okay, yeah, sure. And this is on the Gold Coast. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I was imagining this when I lived in Vancouver, Canada.
Okay, even more.
Yeah.
Okay, totally. Not when you were like in Spain even?
No.
Okay.
No, it was in the temperate Northwest.
Oh, yes, of course, of course, of course, of course. Okay, interesting. What other childhood dreams did you have?
Oh, giant treehouse as well.
Yeah, I really wanted a giant treehouse. Yeah. Which...
With the dolphin in the treehouse.
With the dolphin in the treehouse. Of course, yeah.
Someone else can figure that
out. In like a fish tank, like a really big fish tank. So you actually believed in animal abuse as a child?
No, but I definitely did want to be an orca trainer.
Okay. You know what my mind first went to also was that it would be in a waterbed. The dolphin would live in the waterbed.
I think that's horrible. That's very, is it Hockney?
But maybe it's just a Duna cover with a dolphin on it, you know?
Not Hockney, Damien Hirst. You know Damien Hirst?
I don't know.
He's a British artist. A lot of people hate him. His big thing that he's known for, that you're probably known for, if you do, is he put a shark in a tank, a dead shark, and that was the work. It was just a dead shark in a tank. And then he did like other similar work where he
is so creative.
Cut a cow in half, a dead cow, and put each half in a tank. And so you could see half of a cow. And he did it with like heaps of different animals.
I hate that. That's not great. That's gross. Oh, but he's widely considered the UK's wealthiest living artist.
Yeah, but he's a bit...
Nonsense.
It's conceptual art, and I must confess that I have appreciated some of the ideas when I was a bit more tasteless.
When you wanted a dolphin in your home?
No. When I was like, 19, traveling the world, I was like, oh, Damien Hirst is so deep.
Totally. And every 19-year-old is problematic.
Literally. When you go to the Tate Modern, I mean, what else he meant?
I will cancel you, though.
So who's the winner of Broadly Diva?
It's clearly mine.
Okay. And that's good to know.
Yes. But two blonde divas,
Susan,
you know?
Put up a good fight.
She did. She did. But... I'm excited to keep like track of Susan and her journey.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know more about where she goes next. I wonder which trip she'll go to next.
Because like hearing the way she spoke about all that, I'm like, because I think I was saying this to someone, like, I think what the Liberal Party really needs to do instead of trying to go after Pauline is to go after the independents. Do you know what I mean? I think compete on their policies rather than like compete on these more progressive, like regressive policies that Angus Taylor is doing in terms of like immigration and stuff, because I think that's actually where you can grow the party. Because I don't know. I mean, we'll see with the Victorian.
Yeah.
Crazy times.
Crazy times crazy indeed. Times. Shall we check out? Let's.
How many ways have you disappointed me?
Ooh, one. You?
I think I disappointed you.
Yes, 3.5. And we'll chat. Stay tuned for next week on Broadly Relevant.
Hey, it's
really good to just watch. Totally. In the sense that don't do it again. You can do it in 10 years' time.
No, but I think it's so beautiful that I like flexed.
Yes, absolutely. But accountability must be taken.
100%.
You have to come to my birthday next year.
Yes, I will. But can you schedule it more than
I'm sick of you!
Schedule it more than a goddamn month out.
A month is so long.
I gave you 6 months notice for my birthday. You didn't even come.
Because it was too long.
I gave you 6 months notice.
It was too long.
And you said, nah,
I took you out for dinner.